What's up, everyone? I'm Joe Pompliano, and this is The Joe Pomp Show. Hope everyone's having a great week so far. We have a really interesting episode to get into today. We're going to be talking about Phoenix Suns owner Matt Ishbia and a report that came out last week accusing him and his company of potentially committing fraud. Now, the reason I want to talk about this today is because there's a few details about the report that need to be discussed. And ultimately, a lot of you guys are asking me in DMs, on email, etc., to talk about this because people think that he could eventually be forced to sell his team if he was to get in trouble with his company. That's his primary source of income and wealth. He also leveraged his shares as collateral for a loan to buy the team. So it could get messy. I'm going to break it all down for you guys. But let's start with the obvious. What exactly happened? Last week, Hunter Brook Media released an investigative report detailing questionable business practices and potentially fraud committed by Phoenix Suns owner Matt Ishbia's mortgage company, United Wholesale Mortgage. Now, you can go on Hunter Brook's website and read the full report. It's about 50 pages long. I still recommend you go do it. But I'm going to summarize for you guys what it says in a few short sentences. The TLDR is that Hunter Brook Media combed through publicly available, verifiable data to determine that thousands of independent mortgage brokers were sending virtually all of their business, we're talking about more than 99% of their business, directly to UWM. This is potentially a problem because one, independent mortgage brokers are hired by you or I to save us time by contacting various lenders to find us the best rate. And two, they are supposed to operate independently, with the Dodd-Frank Act stating mortgage brokers can't get paid for steering you in the direction of an affiliated business. For short, they're supposed to go shop your rate around, find you the best rate and the best option for you by talking to a bunch of different mortgage companies. In this case, Hunter Brook Media is saying that's not what happened. Hunter Brook Media says this strategy is how UWM became the country's largest mortgage lender, recently passing fellow NBA owner Dan Gilbert's company, Rocket Mortgage. And to complicate matters further, like I mentioned before, Hunter Brook also insinuates this situation could put Ishbia's ownership of the Phoenix Suns at risk as he used UWM shares as collateral for a $4.6 billion loan that enabled him to buy the Suns for a record $4 billion in 2022. So let's start with the obvious. I personally do not know what will happen here. I want to make that obvious. Overcharging everyday Americans for mortgage rates via bad business practices is a serious allegation. Hunter Brook has already contacted the relevant regulatory agencies, including several attorney generals and the SEC, to investigate the accusations. And it will take time for the details to emerge before we really know what happened. Several details about this story are worth discussing, especially if you're an NBA fan interested in a new billionaire owner potentially being forced to sell his team. Now, I am not a mortgage industry expert. However, I did talk to several people in the business over the last few days, and these allegations weren't surprising to any of them. Part of that is because UWM is known as the largest and fastest moving lender, and many independent brokers just simply prefer to do business with them, even if it is at a slightly more expensive rate for their clients, because the process is often more efficient. Specifically, one person I talked to compared UWM and Rocket Mortgage, for that instance, to Amazon. They said that people know they could save a few dollars if they spent time looking for products elsewhere. But Amazon has created an easier process that is worth a premium, similar to why you might choose UWM or Rocket Mortgage over a local credit union. But the interesting part about this is that's really only part of the equation. The real reason that over 8,500 independent loan officers are sending 99% or more of their business to UWM last year is an ultimatum from Matt Ishbia. In 2021, Ishbia and UWM gave brokers a choice. They could either A, sign a contract saying they won't do business with two of UWM's main competitors, Rocket Mortgage and Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, or B, they could remove UWM from their list entirely and they could no longer get mortgages from UWM. Matt Ishbia called it the all-in initiative, and it worked. Only 600 of the firm's 12,000 brokers declined to sign the agreement, meaning 95% of UWM's independent brokers agreed to stop doing businesses with those two companies alone. And the interesting part about this is those two companies are not small. They're both in the top five. So this initiative essentially removed two of the biggest mortgage lenders in all of the country so that UWM could get more business. And as a result, UWM's business exploded. The firm saw 20,000 more loan applications the following month. UWM has also seen its total loan origination volume double, and it passed Rocket Mortgage to become America's number one mortgage lender last year. Today's podcast is sponsored by Doer. I'm super excited that Doer is now sponsoring this podcast because they sent me a pair of jeans a few months ago, and they are absolutely fantastic. Finding a good pair of jeans is never easy, especially when you want something you can wear all the time while still looking good and feeling comfortable. I don't know about you guys, but it feels like I try 3 to 4 different brands every year, and they almost always never work out. Some don't fit right, some shrink in the wash, some aren't comfortable, etc. But I was recently introduced to Doer's denim offering, and I think they cracked the code. Doer's denim uniquely mixes classic style with technical performance. It has 360-degree stretch, which keeps you cool throughout the day, and it's become my go-to option for virtually everything, from watching games at the bar to date night. So if you want to upgrade your closet today, give Doer a try. They have a bunch of different options on their website, and the best part is they're offering all of my listeners a special 20% discount code. All you have to do is go to shopdoer.com/pomp. That's shop, D-U-E-R.com/pomp. Matt Ishbia said during a 2021 earnings call with Wall Street analyst, "I couldn't have imagined it going so well. Obviously, my competitors, they don't like the decision, but our business is not designed to make them like us." And ultimately, this all-in agreement is a big reason why the numbers look so different. For example, before the ultimatum was issued, about 10% of UWM's brokers were sending 90% or more of their business to the firm. However, after the ultimatum, over 25% of the firm's independent brokers are now sending 90% or more of their business to UWM. So again, about 10% before were sending a lot of their business. Now 25% are sending 90% or more of their business. Obviously, the ultimatum has a huge impact on that. Many people will look at this and say it's not right. And honestly, I agree. If an independent mortgage broker's job is to shop around and find the best rate for their clients, requiring them to remove two of the country's five biggest counterparties from their list could be seen as neglect of price competition and certainly transparency. The only problem with that is that it really isn't illegal. UWM has already faced several class action lawsuits, and courts in multiple states have ruled in their favor, saying that it does not create a monopoly. In fact, UWM takes it another step. They routinely file lawsuits against independent brokers who break their agreement. So you may be thinking, if UWM's all-in ultimatum has already been challenged in court, and Hunter Brook's investigative report includes no new information other than data that is already publicly available to everyone else, why was this report even released in the first place? Well, this is where it gets interesting. The reason you haven't heard of Hunter Brook Media before is because they aren't really a media company. I mean, they say they are a media company, but Hunter Brook Media really acts as an, and I quote, independent subsidiary of Hunter Brook Capital, a VC-backed hedge fund that recently raised $100 million. Bloomberg's Matt Levine had a nice summary of it, really simply broken down in his newsletter earlier this week. He said, number one, Hunter Brook Media publishes general news and investigative journalism. There are no paywalls and no advertising. But before each investigative piece is published, the newsroom at Hunter Brook sends it to their hedge fund, Hunter Brook Capital, which can trade on the news legally. The hedge fund's trading profits, they hope, can then pay the journalist's salary. The simplest way to think of Hunter Brook is that they are essentially an activist short-selling hedge fund, like a Hindenburg Research. However, rather than solely publishing investigative reports, Hunter Brook will also publish a regular cadence of global news, attempting to attract an audience similar to Bloomberg or the Wall Street Journal. So, how do they make money? Well, buried deep in the editorial section of the UWM report is a disclosure that Hunter Brook's hedge fund shorted UWM stock, went long Rocket Mortgage stock, and purchased derivatives before publication of the report. UWM stock has since recovered, but it declined 8.5% on the day of the report, and Hunter Brook could have easily closed out its position already. It's also worth noting that due to its high short interest and low float, UWM stock is an ideal target for an investigative report that could potentially make a hedge fund a large profit. And that's not all. Hunter Brook sent the report, pre-publication, of course, to a law firm, putting together a 4-person class action lawsuit that could obviously result in damages, which they would get paid on too. Hunter Brook also shared the data with shareholder litigation firms, think securities fraud payout. And of course, they also filed an SEC whistleblower report, which can pay on an award of 10 to 30% of the money collected when monetary sanctions exceed $1 million. So they're not making money through advertising. They're not making money through subscriptions. They're making money by shorting the stock through the hedge fund, buying Rocket Mortgage sales, and obviously the derivatives. But then they're also making money on class action lawsuits, litigation firm lawsuits, and whistleblower reports with the SEC. So no, this is not your standard investigative report. Hunter Brook Capital has raised $100 million from unknown investors to trade on pre-published reports from its newsroom, Hunter Brook Media. The hedge fund is charging the traditional fee of 2% management fees and 20% performance fees, and that money, plus the hedge fund's potential profits, will fund the media company going forward in the newsroom. This is technically legal because Hunter Brook Media relies on publicly available information only, whereas trading on material non-public information would be securities fraud. It will also serve as an interesting case study of alternative methods of media monetization, especially since investigative reporting is now seen as kind of a dying industry. Still, there are some obvious concerns. Not only are the hedge fund and media businesses run by the same people at Hunter Brook, but passing information between them can create potential conflicts of interest. And given that Hunter Brook is financially incentivized for its reports to gain steam, much more than a typical media business would be from ads or subscriptions, because they can use leverage through the financial markets, the newsroom's integrity at Hunter Brook will always be questioned. Now, that's not to say that UWM did nothing wrong. Again, I do not know in this specific instance. The company has denied it, of course, and Matt Ishbia even claimed, without evidence, that Cleveland Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert and his company, Rocket Mortgage, were behind the report. But if something does come of it, Matt Ishbia could potentially face disciplinary action from the NBA, and a new business model for financial markets may be born. That's it for today, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please do me a favor, and if you did, just share it with a friend. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever listening to this episode. Otherwise, I hope everyone has a great day. We'll have a special Masters episode for you later this week. Talk to you later.